Hey there, welcome to Sauce and Bond Podcast. I'm your host, I'm Nadina, Head of Growth at Sauce Group, serial acquirer buying wonderful sauce businesses to take them to the next level. And here I chat with inspiring founders and experts to get an inside scoop on how they made their business a success. And today with me is Marvin, VP of Marketing at OMR Reviews, the largest German software review platform. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Anna. Super happy to be here.
Well, I'm glad to chat with you every time. So yeah, let's get to it. You know, before we chat OMR and OMR reviews, let's talk about you and how you got to do what you're doing.
Yeah, so I'm Marvin. As you said, I'm VP Marketing at OMR Reviews. Super shiny name, but basically it means I lead the team here at OMR Reviews, the marketing team. Actually, I've been with OMR now for 3.5 years. I've been the first marketing employee at the OMR Reviews team. So I had the honor of basically building the team from scratch and basically building my team as I wanted that here at OMR Reviews. And yeah, as I said, for 3.5 years now, like the project we're doing for around about like four and a half years now, maybe. So I've been there from basically almost like scratch. I think overall, I've been the employee number 9 for OMR Reviews. And yeah, that's what I'm doing in marketing. Also, my journey at OMR Reviews was basically at the beginning, I came to bring a little bit of structure and order into the marketing. And with marketing on that side, we mean traffic generation. So the question was, how do we get traffic on a platform? How do we get more users on the platform? Then my focus kind of switched and I went to, okay, how do we get more experts? So reviewers on the platform, so how we're building our review generation engine. And now for 1.5, 2 years or so, I'm more focused on the B2B marketing side, getting software vendors on the platform, convincing them that it's a very good idea to do a premium plan with us. And that's what I've been doing the last 1.5 to 2 years. And before I did that, I was at Google. So I worked as a marketing strategist there with a focus on media and lead generation. So also quite fitting. I talked with a lot of SaaS companies there. And then I thought, okay, it's going to be a very good idea to join OMR, as I was a hardcore OMR fanboy and hardcore OMR podcast listener. And then when Philipp Westermeier and the crew asked me to come over and join them, and I had a very, very cool interview process, I said, okay, let's do it. I'm in. I'm leaving Google and I'm coming to join this new project.
Anything for OMR. And, you know, every German marketer saying, I come to bring structure and order. It was so funny when you said that. But yeah, I remember, you know, I first got to the OMR office 2 years ago, right? And it was pretty much empty. It was like you said, maybe like 9 people. And then I got there, what, like a couple months ago? And it was packed. Like, you guys grew so much. It's crazy. But I guess, you know, there are a lot more fanboys and girls of OMR and OMR Reviews because you got killer content going on. I mean, every time you share something, like, and you're everywhere too, right? Like LinkedIn, Instagram. Yeah. And like, for example, Instagram wouldn't be like my first choice as a B2B marketer, but yeah, I guess it works for you guys on an employer branding as well level.
For sure.
But does it actually bring leads in like a B2B level?
You have to, like, you usually separate this. I mean, OMR itself, the OMR brand is huge on social media. So probably one of the largest B2B accounts there are in Germany. So basically on LinkedIn, let me guess, like the OMR channel has like 150,000 followers, Instagram even more, I think. So this is basically a very, very huge. For OMR Reviews, for us, it's, as you said, it's definitely an employer branding channel, but it's also a reach channel. And we are trying to build reach there because also one of our business models is selling sponsored content for our partners. Because what we do, we are a marketing channel for B2B SaaS companies, and we want to help them gaining visibility. We want to help them gaining reach. So what we're doing, and also in our social media efforts, is basically trying to build reach, and it's actually working quite well, that we can then for sure also provide our partners with, that can use that reach in order to gain visibility and gain reach for their products.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. All right, so before we go any further, what is actually OMR abuse? And I mean, how did it even happen that from OMR, that again, the shiny company that hosts this incredible, super overwhelming festival, I mean, I went and I got lost immediately, sprouted OMR reviews?
Very good question. As you said right in the introduction, we are now officially Germany's, and well, basically DACH region, so Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. We are the software information platform with the largest reach and the biggest one and with the most reviews. And how we got there was basically a whole kind of different story. Because when you remember 4 years ago, we were in the middle of the pandemic, and for OMR, it was like a very, very crucial time. So you have to imagine, we are, back then, we were basically an offline events company. And what happens in the pandemic is you're definitely not allowed to do offline events. So we started thinking about how can we actually bring parts of the OMR festival into the digital sphere. And for some products or for some formats on the OMR festival, that was quite easy, right? So instead of those shiny superstar speakers on the stage, like we had Kim Kardashian last year, we had Quentin Tarantino, we had Ashton Kutcher, so top-notch personal brands, we thought, okay, if we can't do that on the stage now, let's just hire the frequency of the OMR podcast. So we actually got them all to speak on the podcast as well, helping the podcast gaining reach. Instead of masterclasses, where a lot of software providers or agencies do education and pitch their products, we said, okay, we can do that also digitally. We can also do digital masterclasses. But basically what happens on a fair, on an event like this as well, is basically that you get in touch with software vendors that have their booths there, that you can talk to them, that you can talk probably to other users and what they are loving about the product, what they probably dislike about the product. And to do that, we had to be a little bit more creative on how we can do that digitally, because we were never fans of doing digital fairs where you walk around with like weird avatars and so on. So that was definitely not OMR-like. So back then, Philipp Westermeyer actually pitched the idea to Felix, which is my colleague and now head of research and platform at OMR Reviews, to have a look at those, what G2 and Capterra are doing in the States, and if that could be something, because basically, review platform, what happens there is you get in touch with software vendors, you basically read what other people saying about that. And we were having a close look at their business model, and we said, that is really something that could work, that could be cool, that could also be super cool for the German market. And it was quite untouched by that time. And we also know from research that German software buyers work a little bit differently. They also want localized content. They want to read of company names that they heard of before that are in Germany. And so we said, okay, let's just try it. Let's just do it. Let's just put the OMR brand on it and take advantage of our network that we have to get the first couple of thousand reviews. And then we went live basically end of 2020. And that's how we started OMR Reviews. OMR Reviews itself, I mean, for software seekers, for software searchers, we are a researching platform, right? Where you can compare products, we can actually find out which is the right software category for my use case, and what are the top products there, what are people saying about those products. But basically for software vendors, we are a marketing platform, right? And we help them with a couple of different needs that they have. The first is basically gaining trust. So we help them actually getting reviews, which they can then use and get licensed to use in their marketing mix, in pitch materials and ads and so on and so forth. If they are successful with their review generation, we award them. So they get different kinds of rewards and awards that you probably also know from G2, like top rated leader badges and so on and so forth. Obviously, they love about us that we have such a reach. We have now about 3.6 to 4 million software users per year on the platform, which is basically gigantic as we're focused so much on the German speaking market. Obviously, they want to take advantage of their reach. And we always say, basically, your OMR Reviews profile is your, Visitenkarte. It's basically your card and your business card for the internet, because every user will come by and check it out, because we are always ranked in the top 5 to 10 search results on Google. So basically you need to make a good appearance there. And lastly, we also help with performance. Obviously you can do lead generation and lead capture on your OMR Reviews profile. But what is more, we deliver data on which companies, so account-based marketing data of which companies are basically right now in the market for a specific software category, for a specific product, who is probably looking at the profile of your biggest competitor that you usually pitch with. And this is actually data that is also super relevant for sales and marketing teams that we can also provide.
That's super cool. Yeah, and I completely agree. This is super relevant. Like, the momentum is definitely something that marketers want to leverage all the time. But you had this great advantage of having OMR behind you, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you decided to go with both POG and sales-led motions. So one of the questions that I wanted to ask is, you know, kind of related to another video that I was watching about marketing and sales and how they work together, and if it even makes sense to try so hard to separate them. And what do you think? Is sales-led even possible without having great inbound, and I guess vice versa?
Yeah, a very good question. Not so sure we have a super strong POG motion. This is basically one of our focus projects for next year, to look into how we can make the product a little bit more, how to make our go-to-market a little bit more product-led. Because right now, I would say we are very, very sales-driven. However, as you said, it's totally correct that we gain a lot of leads inbound, because basically our platform serves as our biggest inbound channel. I would say 70% of our leads come inbound, because usually what happens is the funnels, they sound really super, super simple, but it is really that simple. So what happens if you're a software vendor very often? What kind of search terms would you put into the search engine at Google? So very funny is, like, most of SaaS companies, obviously they search for their own brand search terms, right? And what happens there is, obviously you would probably see your own website at the very beginning. Then you would probably see a social channel. But then again, there comes OMR reviews. And they are basically intrigued, and they click on it, and they see, okay, I have a software profile here. I didn't know that. And basically there you have the funnel that you can actually claim your profile and actually get access to the profile. So this is one of our biggest lead sources, software vendors just Googling themselves and finding one of our software profiles at the top 3 to 5 results, I would say. This is the one funnel. There where products already exist, that we already have the software on our platform. The other funnel is basically you suggest the software because you have heard of OMR through our demand generation, through our reach, and you say, okay, I'm a software vendor. Why am I not here yet? And then you can basically suggest the software and get it listed. And very often we have the funnel there that we also put, you know, we write a lot of content. We write a lot of listicles. What are the top 7 CRM tools in Germany, and so on and so forth. And often the software vendors then ask themselves, okay, how do I get there? Why is my software not here? They get to us into our funnel, and they basically get educated by our sales team to explain the journey. In order to get in those articles, you have to gain a lot of reviews that you also are in the top 7 spots of that category. And then you have the chance to get into those listicles. So basically, I would say those are our biggest 2 sources of inbound. And they make around 50% of our leads, and I would say inbound in total. So we have a couple of other inbound channels and make another 20%, and the rest is outbound.
Okay. G2 and Capterra are listening right now.
Well, they know that already. They know that
right,
already.
Right, that's true. Well, you have some kind of strategy behind you there, so maybe they can try and steal that. All right, that's great. So what is the biggest problem that you're solving for your ICP? And who is your ICP? Is it basically like any tech company from Germany, or any company in Germany at all? Or do you still try to like target someone specifically?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I would say we typically work very well for 2 segments. The one segment is local tools. So basically German SaaS companies, German SaaS providers with a focus on a German speaking market, because there we have the brand, we have the perfect fit of the market. We have a huge audience there. And basically also, as we said already, German software buyers are sometimes very specific. They also love German product because they don't have all those difficulties with GDPR, with where's the server located for. So German software buyers also love German software products. And this is basically where we are very strong. So this is the one segment where we typically do very well. And we can actually go more into the nitty-gritty of that, that we typically serve sales-led companies a bit better, that because they can have a little bit more advantage of the data that we're providing as well. So teams that have very strong outbound focus, but we also do serve a lot of PLG companies, to be honest. This is the one segment. The other segment I would highlight is international, some multinational tools, but they actually either want to come to the German market. So they either want to localize or they are already localized, but now have a stronger focus on the German speaking markets. So with sales teams here on the market, for example, or basically sales team serving specifically at the German market. And I would say this is the other big, big share that we have. We right now building our startup motion a little bit more. So basically startups also love working with OMR, because as the platform is still quite new, you also still have the chance to actually do well in categories that have been, like for at G2 or Capterra, that have been dominated by big brands and they have thousands of reviews already. And it's basically you don't have a chance to get to the top 20 or so in that category as a startup. But with OMR reviews, as we are super focused on the German-speaking market, there you also have the chance, if you're doing well with your clients, if you're getting a lot of reviews by your client, you still have the chance to also get in the forefront of a category and actually make your way up. Because what we also want to do is basically, we had that David against Goliath thinking, that we also want to help smaller tools, but that are really doing really well and are actually super cool products, to basically gain the visibility and gain the reach that they deserve.
I believe we are leveraging that quite a bit with SaaS group brands. So thank you guys for that. But one of the questions that I have, obviously, you know, for all the websites like that, you know, G2, Capterra, OMR reviews, of course, it's not just listing your website and telling people what your tool is and kind of just sitting there waiting for reviews to come. How do you actually make a platform like this work for you?
Yeah, the journey is typically quite clear. So when we onboard a new client, it basically works like that. First step is basically getting your profile updated. So putting all the information in there that you want, having the accurate pricing information, having the actual tool information, having screenshots of your products, maybe having videos of your product. So basically, it's your business card for the internet. So you have to make sure this is all up to date and it's actually all looks nice, basically. The second step, and this is also where usually our customer success team comes in, is so the platform does not work without gaining reviews. Because the more reviews you get, the higher your ranking in our categories is going to be, and the more traffic share of the category you're gonna get. Because also Google loves user-generated content, and you actually get to profit from that in the search engine optimization game if you're gaining a lot of reviews. So basically, first profile, then review generation, and then everything else. But this is basically really important. You have to get reviews in. You have to get reviews in on a continuous basis. So not just, you know, I start with all my reviews, I do one review generation emailing campaign, and then never think of it again. No, because actually also we honor actuality of reviews. So, you know, if like there's a super recent review, it's higher value than a 2-year-old review, because we also want to basically have a glimpse of the market and how it is right now and not how it was like 2 years ago. So actually continuously getting reviews, and then also your traffic share is going to rise and you actually profit from. And the more traffic you get, obviously, the more data you can get as well. So this is basically how a platform like this works.
Yeah, that's fascinating. How do you see people actually get their customers or users write a review? Like, obviously, we've all seen like, hey, here is your, I don't know, Starbucks card, or like a $10 for Amazon or something like this. Those are kind of obvious, but also I feel like they are not the most honest, maybe. Like, oh, they did something nice for me, so I'm going to do something nice for them. How do you actually encourage people to write a review for your company to make it honest and to kind of benefit from it? Because I guess, yes, obviously you want all the like 5-star reviews, but there is also probably a part of market research and what are we not doing right? So
for sure.
Yeah. How to how to balance the, okay, where are we overlooking something with, hey, tell us how good we are?
Super good question, because it is definitely a challenge. And we typically try to solve it with a lot of market education of our clients. So basically, there's a lot of data proving that it is a lot less trustworthy to have only 5-star reviews. Actually, the perfect scoring, there was doing a lot of research, a perfect score would be a 4.3. So basically more good, but still not that good that you that you as a user would say, I don't think this is all legit. I don't think this is all correct. And basically, we have to tell that our clients as well. So obviously, it's cool to get like a lot of 5-star reviews, but you get the real value from the platform if you also not just use it like for getting good reviews, but if you also use it to get like constructive feedback on the product. So what we basically educate our clients a lot is, so typically our customers, so a lot of our customers would integrate a review generation form of us into their NPS scoring, right? When they ask a user, hey, okay, how good do you think the product is? And we always educate them, not just, you know, send them to OMR reviews if it's 8 or 9 or 10, but always send them over to OMR reviews, because this is where you get the valuable feedback as well. And why our clients are often doing this is because there is also a chance with getting a negative review. And the chance is basically being able to publicly address it as well by answering on a negative review on OMR review. So basically thanking for that review, saying, okay, we're actually at the moment trying to solve that problem, or we have it solved already. And this is something that gains you a lot of trust in the market. If you actually show potential users that you're taking product feedback very seriously and act on it as well. There are a lot of good chances with also getting negative reviews and being able to address them. So this is what we basically try to do a lot of education around, that it does not make sense to only have 5-star reviews, because this is a lot less trustworthy than also having a couple of negative reviews and being able to address them.
I think I just read about this. I don't remember where. I think it was a newsletter. But I also noticed that that's how I choose my bakeries. But
right? Would you go to a bakery that has only 5-star reviews, or would you be like, I'm not sure?
No. Yeah, I'm always like, it doesn't smell right. Like, no, yeah. There is always. I mean, there should be room for error. So I don't know. True. Not so sure. But
same for software products.
True, I know. But you know, also just kind of talking to all our brands and seeing what's there on social media, like, yeah, obviously some reviews are, like you said, they're like constructive criticism and like, hey, you know, this is something that could be better. But sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes the comment is like, this is shit. That's it. How do you react to this kind of comments? And like, is there some piece of advice, piece of wisdom that you can share how to deal with that?
So actually, we have software review guidelines, first of all, that you are basically, that you as a reviewer would need to stick to it. So we actually have in our guidelines, okay, we actually don't want to have like, we don't want to have personal attacks there. We don't want to have like unconstructive negative without being specific. So our software review process is a little bit different from what you would typically know from like Google reviews or, I don't know, trusted reviews, where you just have like, you know, one sentence and a star review and that's it. Our software review process is a lot longer, because we actually want to get the content out of it, and we want to actually get, you know, we want that the software vendors can profit from it. So first of all, we would not probably, if you're just saying in the review, this product is shit, it probably wouldn't be according to our guidelines, and we wouldn't actually publish it. But if you actually do a lot of, you know, if you write a review and you really be specific, okay, those are the things that I don't like about the product, and those that are things that I think are shit, this is definitely going on our platform. And there's also no way for the vendor that we are going to unpublish that, because we are a neutral platform, and we will allow constructive feedback. But there, again, you have the chance as the vendor to answer to that, to say how you're addressing it, to basically also apologize, can also be a big, big trust gainer for you as a software vendor. But this is typically a typical process. We would say, okay, first of all, appreciate the feedback, say how you're addressing it, say what your next steps are. This is probably a good framework to answering negative reviews.
Yeah, great. So let's go back to, because I think I layered too many questions on that one. How to actually encourage your people to leave a review? Like, yeah. Are you know the coupons and discounts the best way to go, or is there something better?
Sadly, there are. We've been testing a lot, but actually we have to say, and this is what everyone in the market is doing. Yeah, people like their personal advantage and coupons work very, very well. However, we also try to be creative. We had charity events with that you basically send money to a charity for writing reviews. Doesn't work as well as coupons, sadly, as I said, but also working. What we are doing with software vendors that have very strong client contact, for example, with the customer success team, is what really works well and what really is cool is to do like internal competitions where the customer success manager that is getting the most reviews from their customers is actually awarded with a weekend trip or a nice dinner voucher or something like that. So this is what we can do. You can actually, we always encourage to ask for reviews when you are on fairs and events and have a booth there where you can basically make it easy for your clients to leave reviews there. So basically, you can be super creative. You can try whatever you like. And from our data, we know that unfortunately vouchers are most effective, but we always love to try new things there as well.
Right. Try everything and then just send a Starbucks voucher. So, all right. So, yeah, like I already noticed, you have a kind of a operational strategy going on behind you. So what's next for OMR reviews? Like you said, you're going to double down on PLG.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something for, you know, for the listeners to also deep dive into. So like, what are your first steps to go deeper into PLG?
So I hope we're going to get it on our list for the first two quarters or so next year. Not so sure yet. We still have to debate and discuss a lot within our leadership team what is getting the most tech resources next year. But yeah, if we want to build a PLG motion, basically the steps are quite clear for us. So we want to, for example, the funnel that I mentioned where software vendors search for themselves and they get on their own software profile. It would be actually the nicest thing to do to just click on claiming your profile, that we do a quick sense check. Okay, is it really like a person from that company? Is it really an owner, that a potential owner of that review profile? And once this is done, we actually get them to access their dashboard where they can manage their profiles and basically allow to make changes on your basic profile. So basically, you know, updating pricing information, updating screenshots, and maybe updating links, and so on and so forth. But basically, all those features that are, for example, paid, we basically grade them out and say, okay, you can only access that if you're having an OMR Reviews premium profile, and then starting basically the journey of either talking to sales or further in the future, maybe allowing actually self-booking there for our lower tier plans as well. So this is something that we definitely want to look at to actually also strengthening our inbound, to release the pressure on our sales team that are doing a lot of education at the moment as well, but definitely something that we look into next year.
That's cool.
If you're asking, yeah, for sure. If you're asking me what our biggest bets are for the next year, I would probably say from a marketing perspective, but from a business perspective, we are very aware that we are a super strong brand in the German speaking markets. And this is basically our badge. This is where we are strong and this is where we actually want to leverage. So versus other SaaS brands that would typically, when they rock and win the local market, they would probably go into new markets. I would say for us, the approach is a little bit differently because I always say that we try to vertically integrate and get more audiences on the German speaking market. So what we're kind of building at the moment is building profiles for our software implementation partners and agencies. So basically, because very often if you're deciding for a software product, the next question you ask yourself is, okay, who can actually help me integrating this into my tech stack. And there's a big, big market for software implementation partner agencies, consultancies, and so on that help into that process. So we say, okay, this is a big part of the software buying journey that we want to address, and this is where we are going next. And actually working super well for us. We've been starting with first proofs of concepts middle of this year, but we are already a couple of $100,000 of ARR for agency and software implementation partners. So we basically want to double down on that next year for sure.
That's really great. And I mean, you guys are growing really fast. I mean, I was the only other podcast in English I found with Philip, the head of OMR, and it was from last year. And he said, you had, I think, 2 million of unique users unique visitors on the website last year. And this year you said it's about 4 million. So, you know, this is pretty great growth. So, yeah, I think it really makes sense to just double down where it works already. Anything really cool, spectacular, just remembering your booth at OMR last year, you're planning for 2025?
In terms of the festival or that's
He's
a very
coming.
Good question.
He's coming to the booth. Is Kim Kardashian at your booth this time?
Yeah, as everyone knows, Kim Kardashian is a huge sucker for software products. She absolutely loves SaaS tools. No, I'm actually not so sure what. So we are actually right now in the planning stage for the OMR festival next year, because obviously it's where all the OMR brands come together. It's a big, big party networking event too, where we have our partners, our experts, and so on coming. So basically a super big, big thing for us every year, but not our most important, I would say, in terms of doing business. For sure, super nice and super interesting. And we're also planning on doing a booth next year as well. And obviously also having a dinner party before. So doing everything of that. We usually say the OMR festival is where we bring all the RMR reviews community together, and therefore it's super nice for us. In terms of speakers, not sure yet. We have a couple of interesting ideas. Nothing of it yet is, I cannot tell you yet, but definitely we have some very cool ideas and who we can ask to join with the OMR brand. The chances that we get very cool speakers for our event is also there. So I hope in a couple of months I'll be able to tell you a little bit more about this.
Oh man, that was one of the reasons I asked you here, to crack you up and to tell me
that was
who's coming.
That was a politician answer.
Yes, that's true. But no, super cool. And I hope, you know, we get to do something together with OMR and Zaz group, because like I said, a few of our brands really love what you guys are doing, and we're there, check out. So just have a couple more questions for you. I mean, you've been there with OMR reviews for a while, almost since the beginning, right? So what do you think you've done like really right? What's the biggest win? And what's the failure, or maybe, you know, a mistake that you were able to turn around?
Very good question. So I had to prepare this answer a bit, because it's a good question to think about it. So what I would say our biggest win is basically building a great team. So this is probably the answer you get a lot, but here at OMR, really, it really is that we have a super cool team and super much fun to come to work every day, because everyone is actually doing their job very well. They are all super on fire for what they do, and it's just a lot of fun to work with them. So building a great team is definitely something that I would recommend, also because you basically spend most of your life at work. So it makes sense to spend it with people that you actually like, and that is fun spending time with. So this is the easy answer, probably. I would say in terms of marketing hacks, growth hacks, I would say building this all on top of the OMR brand was definitely something we have been discussing at the beginning, because it also comes with some disadvantages probably, but we actually decided to do it, and that worked super, super well for us, because there is a lot of pride that software vendors have when they say, okay, we are an awarded product by OMR, by this big brand. So, and this works super, super well. I would say the co-marketing that we get for free is one of our biggest growth hacks, because when you are on fairs, software products are putting our logo everywhere and show the badges everywhere. When I hear so many podcast ads where software vendors talk about how they are rated on OMR reviews, and this is super nice because basically it's free marketing for us, and it works super well in gaining the trust. So building this all on top of the OMR brand, definitely a growth hack that we had the unfair advantage of leveraging on a green field. I think this would have never been possible, of building that business within 4 years as a newcomer without a strong brand that's having your back.
All right. Any failures?
Failure. Okay. Biggest
no one's getting away,
failure
Marvin.
Or biggest drama. I always call it our biggest failure or biggest drama was the so-called my deal story. So at the very beginning, we were building our product super fast, and basically do not put a lot of effort always in making it super secure everywhere. So, and what happens basically, as we talked about, we have incentivizations for software reviews at a time. And when we built it at the beginning, we were basically building, it was super easy to come around of how our incentive links work, because it was basically, you know, URL structure. So there was one clever user that put fake links on the internet, basically where you would get, well, the link actually said that you would get a 50 euro voucher if you were reviewing Asana or Microsoft Teams and so on. And obviously this was fake, and obviously this was like never intended to be, but within a couple of hours, we gained like 1,000 reviews or so of that. And we were actually like, it was a big drama with the community in explaining them, okay, this is actually not legit here. This is not gonna happen. Somebody put a fake link on the internet, and this is not one of our legit marketing actions. And we've been in contact with the community. We've been a lot of contact with lawyers, and basically the two most stressful months in my 2 years, in my 4 years at OMR Reviews for sure.
Oh, wow. That's quite
but
a
we
story.
Learned from it. Yeah, but we learned from it. And basically now everything is much more secure. It's not, and our incentivization structures are much more secure now. So this probably will never happen again, as
well,
we learned from it.
Fingers crossed. Touch wood, Marvin.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So you started talking about a hack, but you know, we'll have to come up with something else because the last question is a hack. Anything, you know, it can be the simplest, the smallest thing ever that works for you personally when building an awesome team or working on your PLG motion, or it can be something that we all know, but so want to be reminded of.
So one of our hacks that we get a lot of recognition on social media is how we go on to events, because we typically go on live events where there are a lot of software providers and our partners. What we are doing is, if the partners are awarded with our badges, we usually print them in a very nice haptic form and bring them to the events together with a bottle of Prosecco or champagne or so. And we celebrate this award with the vendor on the event. And this is something that is working super well for us, because it's always so nice to get in contact with our vendors in person. And they are always humble and they are always super happy, and we have a very great time. And again, here, co-marketing, right? Our brand is then everywhere. The awards and badges are everywhere. When you're walking on a fair, basically, you cannot walk 50 meters without seeing our brand somewhere. This is definitely one of our marketing hacks that we get a lot of recognition for.
Okay, I have a question now. At OMR Festival, Sobility, one of our brands was there. You guys were there.
Yeah.
But the bottle of wine was definitely not there.
This year is coming. This year it's coming.
I'm getting complain just a little here.
That's okay.
All right. I interrupted you.
Personal hacks. My personal hack in building my team was basically bringing in more senior people, because I typically lead with a lot of trust, and I typically leave them, this is your area of competence. You are the one who is doing the decisions here. I'm the one who's helping you with the sparring, and I'm the one who is your coach, but I'm not that deep into your topic as you are. So basically, you have the biggest competence in also making decisions here. For people that come to my team new, and they very often do not know this, they are typically not led this way before, because typically they come from companies where it is really straightforward. So the boss is telling you what to do and you're just doing it. I try to do it basically the other way around, because I'm very aware of that. I'm more like a generalist. A generalist means I know a bit of everything in every field of marketing, but I'm not a specialist in the field. So I prefer having the specialists in my team pitching what the best solution would be and then sticking to it and then making it work.
That's great. I mean, you hire smart people. The best thing you can do is leave them to do their best. So that's a great hack.
For sure.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing it and, you know, for a great chat, for all the great laughs. We are expecting that bottle on OMR next time.
For sure.
You're not getting away.
I will bring it personally.
Yes. Okay. All right. I won't be there to expedite, but I will ask somebody.
But you're not coming to the OMR festival?
Oh, come man, on, it was Anna. Too overwhelming. It's, I don't know. I got lost like 16 times.
That's okay. And, we'll find you.
Yeah. Like, we'll air tag me. And,
yeah. And it's then a very good idea.
Fun, right? Yes. Yeah. But yeah, thanks so much for the story. I mean, OMR Reviews, like I said, we love working with OMR Reviews with SaaS Group. And you always come back to us with some collaboration partnership kind of opportunities. So it's great. So can't wait to see what you're doing next year. And we see you at OMR. Sure.
Absolutely. And if there are any tools that are like a software providers that are listening to your podcast with a focus on the German speaking markets, please hit me up.
Yes.
The little pitch in the end.
What is the best way to find you?
LinkedIn, I would say. I'm very responsive on LinkedIn. So if you want to reach out to me, just send me a message and I'll be there for you.
Cool. All right. I'll leave a link everywhere. So people will be able to find you. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time and happy to do it again.
Yes, me too. Looking forward.
Thank you and take care.